Mental health care around the country is facing a shortage. With the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, more people are insured. Insurers are now required to cover mental health care. That means demand is going up.
At the same time, psychiatrists are retiring faster than medical schools are producing them. The shortage is even more dramatic in rural areas, including many parts of Wisconsin.
One of the answers to this lack of providers in rural areas is telepsychiatry. Psychiatrists from urban areas can meet with patients in other parts of the state by video conferencing with them.
Veronica Rickert sat down with Dr. Richard Barthel to talk about how it all works and the challenges of telemedicine. He's a child psychiatrist and assistant professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he uses telepsychiatry to meet with patients in Appleton from his office in Wauwatosa.
Paint us a picture, if you would. How does telepsychiatry work?
Telepsychiatry is simply a method to connect with people at a distance and to provide services that have both an audio and visual component. Of course, there can't be any touching over the screen, but that's the main use of telepsychiatry. It's best for sharing data, and that's why it started out with the use of x-rays at a distance and MRIs and echoes and all those other things that can be knocked down into bits and then sent over distance so people can reconstruct them. But now we use it in telepsychiatry, particularly to see patients at a distance and to interact with them over time and space.
Now, when you're talking about seeing patients on a screen, is it your basic size computer screen or is it something larger?
Well, you can do both. Some people use a computer screen. I find it more useful to have a large HD screen in my office. And, of course, the family has an HD screen at the other end of the clinic that I work in.
So what kinds of services do you provide to patients using this kind of telepsychiatry?
My services are just to children and adolescents, but obviously I see families as part of that. And all of the work that I do and have been doing for the last 6 years is to do medication management and evaluation of initial problems.
Now, is there any difference that you feel that you think the patients feel when they're communicating with you via a screen instead of there in the office in person? Are there any nuances that get missed, or is this fitting the bill?
Well, I think there's two different ways to approach that, one of which is from the side that the family is on, and it really depends on the age of the child and their experience with other digital modes to communicate. A vast majority of children that I see and families that I see have had experience with talking to relatives at a distance, fathers overseas, mothers in a different spot, over instruments like their computer Skype or their iPhone or whatever it is that they're using. So from their point of view, I think that it's pretty similar that they've done this before. The arresting thing is the fact that it's a huge screen and that the person is actually talking directly to them. From my end, I think that the major dilemma for me, and I say this to everybody that I talk with about it, is that focal length is the issue. Because, for example, if I'm seeing a child who has a tic disorder, subtle movements of their face, hands, arms, extremities, belly, then I can use my focal length to cone in on the face, and I'll see good clear interactions in terms of what facial tics they may have, but I'll miss what is happening in the rest of their body. On the other hand, if I go back and look at the full body picture, then I'm missing what's going on in the face. But that's a pretty subtle distinction. And most of the time, just a fixed focal length, which shows from the knees up when the child or the parent is sitting down, is just fine. The only problem I have in most families, and it seems like it's mostly dads, is that when they come in, they're wearing their Packer baseball cap, and then I have to take it off to make sure that they have good lighting on their face.
I see.
But they're usually pretty okay with that.
Now, telepsychiatry is something that's happening more and more often in Wisconsin and elsewhere, I gather, as well. In your words, can you explain to us why we need this, why people are using telepsychiatry?
I believe the main reason is because it saves people travel. It's a geographical extender. In my situation, it's a geographic extender, and it's also because the clinic that I work with has not been able to recruit a child psychiatrist to see people in person, and so I've been supporting them for a number of years. And in fact, I think if they're able to recruit somebody who can see the patients in office, then probably I would lose my position. But It is an extender in terms of geography. For example, the VA system across the country, and particularly in Wisconsin, have been using the extension of telepsychiatry for a number of years to see people in the upper part of the state where there are no clinics.
Right, and what you're getting at here is a coverage gap. It sounds as though there's a shortage of mental health care providers in general, and that there's also a rural coverage gap. As you said, sometimes not any providers available in a particular area. How is that playing out here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's been in Wisconsin and most other states the same, that there's a clustering of mental health professionals, particularly physicians, in a city area because it's harder to attract them to a distant space. Now, I work for the Medical College of Wisconsin, and as you probably are aware, the Medical College has recently expanded into two branch campuses, one in the Green Bay area and one in the north-central part of the state. But so that's going to probably bring more physicians to the area because they'll have a commitment to educating the next group of physicians. But on the other hand, it's hard to sustain people in smaller cities when the physicians and their families are more wanting to be involved in larger areas. So the geography distribution is an issue, and that's true for many states, especially in the western part of the United States. But also the geography is more in terms of the distance between cities. So you can have a reasonable-sized city like Stevens Point and a reasonable-sized city like Green Bay, but they're pretty far apart. And so the ability to have a interim spot where the families can go to be seen by telepsychiatry, even from smaller cities like that, I think is an advantage.
We're talking with Dr. Richard Barthel right now. He's a child psychiatrist and assistant professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. We're talking about the rise of telepsychiatry. And Dr. Barthel, why are the numbers of people going into psychiatry diminishing right now?
Actually, I don't think they're diminishing. I think it rises and falls about a pretty steady number over time. The fact that the dilemma is that the number of medical students across the country has been increasing over time, and it's still a shortage because of the increasing population. And in mental health in general, the number of clients or patients, however you want to identify the person who needs help, is larger because of a number of new observations about the kind of mental health interventions that can be helpful, and people who are frankly, greater stress in their environment than they have been before. So I guess if you take the statistics that increasing number of patients, fixed number of physicians, fixed number of mental health people across the board, less ability to train people because of the cost of training, it becomes a gap over time.
Now, what role is the Affordable Care Act playing in the demand for mental health care?
That's a very complex question and a very complex answer. I can't speak to that very much because I don't have a lot of involvement with adult care. In fact, I've not seen adults for clinical care for a number of decades. And by and large, children have been covered in this country by all of the same features of the Affordable Care Act through the use of Medicaid and other state programs that provide care for children. That's the child exception that's always been worked out in the federal government on a regular basis to provide that care. So, for example, the majority of the patients that I see are insured by Medicaid, Title 19 in the state of Wisconsin. And the dilemma there is that I can see them because the contract that my medical school has with the clinic allows me to be paid whether the patients show up or not. But in fact, for the average person in a private practice, they're not going to get reimbursed enough by Medicaid to be able to see families significantly. They can see a portion of those, but if they want to keep an office open, they can't get reimbursed enough to provide the care.
Now, one way that has been floated to help sort of bridge this coverage gap for mental health in Wisconsin is to embed psychiatric services within other medical services, maybe with a primary care doctor. How would that work?
It works pretty well, actually, as long as you can have the right mix of people. Generally, the studies that I'm aware of, and University at UW and Madison have been sort of pioneers in this, they have had usually a non-physician psychotherapist and or social worker and or psychologist who's in the clinic full-time, and then a psychiatrist physician who's there part-time. And the consultations are done through the non-physician to the physician or to the physician to the primary care physician, whether that be a family practice doctor or an internal medicine or pediatric doctor. And if you have good receptivity of the primary care clinicians, they're going to be able to learn something and feel more comfortable with a broader array of patients that they can manage. The Medical College of Wisconsin, as you probably are aware, got a significant funding from the state over the last couple of budget cycles to be able to do this for the northern part of the state, and have been expanding that program as funds become available so that we can contact pediatricians at a distance by telemedicine or by telephone so they can get consultations. And this is modeled on programs that have been successful in other states, particularly Massachusetts.
How optimistic are you right now that telepsychiatry is going to be enough to bridge this coverage gap that we're talking about in the face of some shortages right now?
Oh, I'm not optimistic at all. It's really not a an answer for the coverage gap except geographically, because every patient I see at a distance is one that I can't see in my office in Milwaukee. In fact, I don't have an office in Milwaukee, but I gave up my practice in Milwaukee in order to support the Fox Valley. And so patients who would love to be able to see a child psychiatrist in Milwaukee, you know, two blocks from where they live, don't have somebody that they can see anymore because I'm not in my office. And instead, I'm seeing patients at a distance. So it's been called in the literature a zero-sum game, because you don't get any more patients that are being seen. You just change the geography of the patients and their travel time.
Dr. Barthel, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've been listening to an interview with Dr. Richard Barthel, child psychiatrist and assistant professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He practices telepsychiatry, one effort to solve a shortage of mental health care providers in rural Wisconsin.